One person said, "Is it really the last night?" The other person said, "It's finally the last night." I want to share a story with you before moving into the message tonight. Tonight, the goal here is to encourage you. To encourage you to, you know, keep pressing toward the mark. Back on January 4th, it was a Thursday, Kathy's Aunt Pat had bypass surgery. Well, the Wednesday prior to her surgery, meaning January 3rd, I was praying. So, Father, just pray the surgery goes well, so on and so forth. But one of the things I also prayed was, God, just make your presence strong in her hospital room. Make your presence strong. Make it real. Well, she had the surgery. Everything went fine. On Monday, January the 8th, 4 days after the surgery, Kathy and I went to the hospital to visit her. And now she was still in the intensive care unit. Later that day, they were going to move her to a regular room, but she's still in intensive care. We walked in, we're talking to her. She looked great. You wouldn't have known she had surgery. She was doing so well. So, she's 89 years old. So we were talking to her, and then as we're getting ready to leave, she looked at me and she said, "Something I want to tell you." She said, "I don't know if I was awake or asleep." She said, "But I looked over and in my room there was a man standing there, and he was spraying fog in this room, and I could smell it." She said, "I know that was the Holy Ghost. God made his presence real in that room. She saw it." Now, she's a Christian, but she saw that. Now, I'm sharing that with you to let you know that I know God heard my prayer. And God answered that prayer. And he made himself real in that hospital room. And she knew it. Now, keep that in mind, because when you pray, God hears you. Amen. And just because we don't always hear the testimony of the answered prayer, he hears you. He hears you and he moves. And I know this, when Jesus said, "Pray that the Lord of the harvest sends laborers into the harvest." He said that, therefore, when we pray that, he answers. And people are sent forth. One of the things that I pray, Father, send laborers and the Holy Ghost into the lives of, certain people that I identify by name. I know he does. Another thing I say is, Father, send dreams into their lives. Yes. Now, I know he does. Yes. Just because they don't come and tell me, I know he does. And I know he's dealing with those people. Yes. Now, I know this. Yes. I know it. And I'm saying this to encourage you. It doesn't matter what you see on the outside.
That's right.
When you are praying according to the Word of God for God to intervene in those people's lives, God is moving some way, somehow.
Yes.
Some way, somehow.
Yes.
It could be them going through the checkout line at the grocery, and the checkout person just looks at them and says, "Well, God bless you. You have no idea what those words could do to that person as they're walking out. God bless you." She said, "God bless you." She said, "God bless you." Why would God want to bless me? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
God's moving. Don't ever think he isn't. He is moving. Don't ever stop praying. Don't ever give up. You say, "Well, I think some of those people are too far gone." And you heard that from God? Did he tell you they're too far gone? Well, until he tells you they're too far gone, keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying and don't give up. No matter what you see in the natural, don't give up. As we continue to press into this revival, God needs us interceding this way. He needs, who else is going to stand in the gap? You know what I'm saying? Who else is going to do that? And one of the worst things that we can do is come to the place of wanting to give up, of wanting to stop, of wanting just to say, well, God, I don't know. I just don't know. Look over in Psalm chapter 90. Psalm chapter 90. What we have in the body of Christ, too many people, too many Christians who they really don't take seriously their life here on earth. They really don't take seriously what God wants them to do. And all too often we measure, or it seems like we measure what God is doing in our lives by what we see happening in our life. And what I mean is this. We develop ideas and concepts of what we think ought to be happening. And that's what we look toward. That's what we focus on. Then if it doesn't happen, it's like, well, God must not be doing anything. Yeah. You know, but why should I keep doing? Why should I this and so on and so forth? And the thing is, we're supposed to be looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And not only that, but we're supposed to be setting our affection on things above and not things here on the earth. But too many times we have our affections, our focus, our attention set on things here on the earth. More so, I mean, obviously we're aware of what's happening. But that's not supposed to be our focus. In Psalm chapter 90, in verse 10, look at this. The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Heard that song, I'll Fly Away? We fly away. And so people look at this and think, there you go. Well, we're guaranteed 70 years, and we might make it to 80, 80, might make it to 80. Well, I'll tell you what. Yeah, I'm gonna do my best to hit that 70. And then, you know what? If the Lord wants to call me home, He can call me home. I'll be ready to go. Well, not me. No. I'm going for the 80. The 80. That's right. I'm going to be around here till I'm 80. Then when I hit 80, that's a good number. I figure, you know, once I hit 80, I'll be ready to go. Lord, here I am. Come and get me. 80 years old. Well, then you get the radical people that want you to turn over to Genesis chapter 6. And, you know, here in Genesis chapter 6, let's go ahead and look at verse 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120. You know what? That almost sounds like an insult there. You know, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. That sounds like an insult. You know, you're flesh. You know, I ain't going to strive with you beyond 120 years. So anyway, you know, we read this verse and it's like, hey, you can have your 70. You can have your 80. Oh, but me. Listen here now. I'm going to 120. You just wait and see. I'm going to 120. And when I hit 120, then, Gabriel wants to come get me. He can come get me. Whoo, I'll fly away. Then I hear some people, you know, they talk about, you know, the 70, well, all right, you know, 80, it's like, well, 80, yeah. But the 120, it's like, I wouldn't want to live that long. I would not want to live that long. I just don't. I mean, you take a look at this world, what's going on? You know how wrinkled I'll be by 120? I do not. I want to go before that. I wouldn't want to live that long. Really. So that means once you hit 70, you just want to die. When you hit 80, you just want to die. Just go on. Just dig the hole and put me in it. When you hit 120, you figure that's long enough for anybody. I think I need to just move on. Well, what about Psalm 116:15? See, we're talking about the destination is worth the battles tonight. And in Psalm 116:15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And so some people read that, they have no idea, no clue what that is talking about. They say, well, you know, if it's precious in the sight of the Lord when I die, well, I want to keep him happy. I don't know, 70 years old, here I come, Lord. I'm going to put a smile on your face. No, that word precious, it doesn't mean it'll make him happy. That word precious, it comes from the Hebrew word yachar. And to put the definition of that word into a paraphrase of the verse, here's what it means. It is of great cost to the Lord when one of his saints dies. In other words, God doesn't like it when we die. He doesn't like it. I mean, think about this. Jesus said, we're the light of the world. So you're telling me that God likes it when the light goes out? You're telling me that, you know, God is, he just wants to welcome us? You done your 20. You done your 120. You know, I'm going to bring you home now. You're all worn out. You ain't worth nothing to nobody. I'm going to bring you on home. No. No. Look, who else is going to preach the gospel? Who else is going to lay hands on the sick and see them recover? Who else is going to minister to the homeless? I mean, who else is going to do this? Who else is going to speak the word over people's lives? Who else is going to spread the gospel message, the message of the kingdom? Who else is going to do that? I mean, if you haven't figured out by now that the world is not going to do that, then I don't know where you've been living. In fact, the world wants to stop it. Who else? We are God's only hope in this world. We're it. We are it. And we need to know that God's got a purpose for us. He's got a purpose for every person in this room. He's got a purpose for every person watching this, every person listening to this. No, God's got a reason for you to be here. He's got a purpose for you to be here. You're not a loser. You're not a dummy. You're not a waste. You're not a nothing. No, you're a child of God.
Yes.
You've been washed in the blood of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And God has a purpose for you here in this world.
Yes, sir.
You got a purpose. You know, let me tell you something.
Come on.
Like I wouldn't. I remember at one time, I'm looking at the church. Now, I've been pastoring ever since June 1st, 1994. And I'll just be honest here. None of the churches, well, I pastored two churches. The one I'm pastoring now, I've been there for 25 years.
Today?
Hey, that's right. Today is the 25th anniversary. Oh, wow. Well, glory to God. Yeah. Well, anyhow, the church, the first church I pastored, the one I'm pastoring now, Grace Christian Center, they haven't grown the way I thought they would. Every pastor's got these ideas. You know, whoo, we are going to grow. Well, whoo, we haven't grown. I mean, it just hasn't happened the way that I thought it would. And I remember, I forget how long ago this was. And I'm thinking, well, you know, I guess, you know the Bible, in the Bible, Jesus was talking about the people with the talents. gave, you know, 10 talents to the one and 5 to the one. And then the 10, he got, you know, 10 more, and the 5, he got 5 more. And the 1, he blew it. He just, you know, wrapped it up and said, here you go. Well, I got to thinking about that and then thinking about what I was doing, pastoring the church. I'm seeing, you know, well, it's not happening the way I thought it would. It's like, well, you know what? I may not have what it takes. I may not have the ability to pastor a big church. I may not have the faith. I may not have the strength. I may not have the, you know, whatever, to pastor a big church. And the Lord ministered to me about that. And I forget the exact words, but it was something like this. It takes a whole lot more faith to pastor a small church than a big one. Because you have to be willing to follow the direction of the Lord and do what He says instead of always looking for the next best thing. And I thought, well, praise God. You know, I still don't know that I see myself that way, but that was encouraging to me. Because what that meant was, God trusts me to pastor a small congregation and not take off running if somebody calls and say, well, we got this huge big church and we'd like to have you come. And I already know that I couldn't. I know that I have to stay where God has placed me. That's just the way it is. So that's where I am. But, you know, you talk about the whole thing of, well, when I hit 70, you know, when I hit it, when I hit the 120, consider this. Why set 70, 80, 120, or some other number as the goal? Why do that? Why set a number? Why look to that number as being, well, this is what God wants? God wants you to hang around because He's got a purpose for you. You know, I've gone from dark hair to gray hair. And in between, I used to try to keep it dark. Then it started falling out. And I thought, I got to quit this stuff. You know, I'd rather have it hang around a little bit longer. God's got a purpose for every single one of you. And you may think, well, I don't know. I mean, I have no idea what God wants. But it's not a matter that you have to know right this minute. What matters is you know He's got a purpose for you. Yes. Every single one of you, He's got a purpose for you. He's got a reason for you. He doesn't see you as helpless. He sees you as His helper here in this world.
Yes.
He's got a reason for you.
That's right.
He's got something for you to do. How about Psalm 118, verse 17? I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord.
Yes.
When I get to 70, I shall not die, but live, and I will declare the works of the Lord. When I get to 80, I will not die. I shall live and I will declare the works of the Lord. When I'm 120 years old, I shall not die. I will live and I will declare the works of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And I'm going to keep living and keep declaring as long as I'm here.
Yes.
Now I know that these bodies are Genesis 3 bodies. And I know the day is coming when the body is going to say, I just can't keep doing this. And the body stops. And I step out of the body into eternity with Jesus. But until then, whenever that time comes, I'm not going to be looking forward to die. I'm going to keep looking unto life.
Hallelujah.
Because Jesus said I could have life and have it more abundantly. Well, I count that both spiritual and natural. I've got a reason to be here. I've got a purpose. You know, I stand here, you know, I'm 67 years old. Now, I don't know what I'm supposed to feel like. Because I don't feel like I'm 67. Not compared to some of the people I've met in my life in their 60s. It's like, good glory to God. You know, you... Kathy's grandfather. Grandpa, how you doing? He said, well, got one foot in the grave and the other on a banana peel. He said that for 30 years. He lived to be over 90 years old. Well, you know what? I'm not going to be looking to put my foot in the grave and the other one on a banana peel. I'm going to look to keep my feet on the rock.
Amen.
The rock of my salvation. You know, look over in Deuteronomy 34. Deuteronomy chapter 34. And just jump to verse 7. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. I mean, he was still the man.
Yeah.
I mean, his chest hair was still dark. He was still bad to the bone. Now, I mean, this is what it's telling us. His eye, he didn't need glasses. He didn't need bifocals or trifocals. His eye was not dim. He could see. And his natural force was not abated. That means he was still going at it. He was still ready to go. And pretty much what he did, you know, because of his disobedience, he didn't go into the promised land. And God said, I want you to come up here to this mountain. I'm going to show you the promised land. Then after that, just lay down. That's it. And that's what happened. And nobody knew where God buried him. Remember, in the New Testament, it talks about how the devil argued, you know, trying to figure out where's Moses' body. Now, I don't know why he was trying to find Moses' body. I don't know what he's going to do with it if he found it. But Moses just laid down and died. That was it. He was done. That doesn't mean we're guaranteed 120. The point I'm making out is, yeah, he died, but his eye wasn't dim and his force wasn't abated. Now, why is it that too many Christians want to buy into this? Well, when you get older, you know, everything starts falling apart. Now, I know it's a Genesis 3 body, and I know we have to keep it up. I understand all of that. But why on God's green earth would we want to stand in agreement, lock arms with people that want to speak curses to our physical body just because we're getting older? Just because there's another year, another calendar has passed. Just why would we want to do that? No, I don't want to speak death over my life. I don't want to speak sickness or all that, you know. Well, you know, when you get older, you know, look at all the nursing homes, you know, full of all these old people, you know, ain't going to be long. Oh, somebody's going to be in there with you. No, no, that's not me. That is not me. No, I'm not going to speak that over myself. I'm not going to do that. Because I've got a purpose to stay out of a nursing home. I've got a purpose for wanting to live in a body where the force hasn't abated. One of my confessions, one of the things that I speak over myself, I thank God that my vision and my hearing are 20/20. Which means I won't have to do, you say, what do you mean I understand the eyes 20/20. What do you mean your hearing 20/20? Well, science has shown that the lowest frequency that a human ear can hear is 20 hertz. And the highest frequency is 20,000 hertz. 20/20. There you go. So I confess my hearing, my vision, 20/20. I speak that over myself. Because see, I know God can do it. Do you think when these guys that went to Jesus and they were deaf, I want to be able to hear, you know, and Jesus, do you think he only opened one ear? Do you think he opened the ear only half as much and said, well, you now you'll get a hearing aid and you'll finish up? No. Do you think he healed their eyes so that they were like 100, 100? I mean, they could see light and that's about it? No. When he healed those people, they were 20/20 eyes and 20/20 hearing. He healed them. I mean, they got really healed. I am not going to come into agreement with somebody who starts talking about when you get old, everything falls apart. Now, I understand. When you get older, you have to, in this country, you have to sign up for Medicare by age 65, isn't it? Something like that. Okay, now, if you've never done that, I'm going to give you a heads up. Once you sign up for Medicare at age 65, they bug you. They do not leave you alone. Have you been taking your medication? Have you seen the doctor? Have you had your health care checkup? Have you had it? Like, good glory to God. Have you bought your shovel and dug your grave? No, I did not. No. But I do go to the doctor. Because if I have this service and I get huge discounts or I get it for free, I don't have a problem going to get checked up. I don't mind doing all of this. And if I go and the doctor says, well, you know what? It might be good if you were to start taking such and such. Well, if the doctor tells me that, I'm not going to come into the agreement with him and go around telling everybody, well, I got it now. Well, you know, doctor said I got it now. No, I'll do what the doctor says, but I'm going to speak to my body and rebuke that stuff.
Amen.
And there's some medication that the doctor said that I need to be taking it, so it's all right. Well, you know, I'll go. I came to you. I'm going to follow your instructions, but at the same time, I'm calling my body free from whatever you said I need to do. Because God's got a purpose for me to be in this life. There's a reason for me to keep living. There's a reason for me to remain strong. Moses, his eye was not dim and his natural force was abated. God needs us here for kingdom purposes. We are his vessels through which he pours out of his spirit upon all flesh. This is what causes that outpouring and that revival. God doesn't want us dying. He wants us living. Look up here at Psalm 91, verse 14 and 16. Look at this. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high. Because he hath known my name, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now God says he's going to give me long life.
Yes.
Why would I want to come into disagreement with God?
That's right.
He says long life. Now, let me read this to you from Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. I want my youth renewed like the eagles. I may look older on the outside, but I want my youth renewed like the eagles.
Hallelujah.
Now, this isn't just a pipe dream. Look, guys, you got to understand, this is the Word of God. This is what God says is available to every single one of us. Look up here at Proverbs chapter 3, 1 and 2. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Length of days. Length of days and long life. I want length of days and long life. Now look at Proverbs chapter 3, 13 and 16. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. Length of days is in her right hand and in her left hand, riches and honor. You know what? If I had to choose between the two, I want the length of days more than the riches and the honor. But God has said I can have both.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to argue with God. I'll say, bring it on, Lord. I'll take it. The long life and the riches and the honor. Look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 10. Hear, O my son, receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Look at Proverbs chapter 9, verses 1 and 11. Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. Look at Proverbs chapter 10, 27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Don't be wicked. Right? Don't be wicked. Be righteous. Listen. Listen. If God doesn't want us living a long time, why in the world did he tell us how we can live a long time? Everything we've just been reading. If he doesn't want us living beyond 70, beyond 80, the 120. I mean, if he doesn't want us to keep living and keep living, why tell us how to do it?
Yeah.
And why promise it? Well, you think he promises it and then he says, I was just joking. No. Why promise us this if he doesn't want us to have it? And now look at Proverbs 10:11. The mouth of a righteous man is what? A well of life.
Yeah.
Therefore, my mouth has the ability to set the course of the length of my life. Why would I want to speak anything over my body that is going to bring it to destruction? Look in Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You know what? I want to eat the fruit of life.
Yes.
I want to speak life over me. I want to speak healing. I want to speak whatever it takes over my body. I want to speak the Word of God. See, if you don't know the Word of God, how can you speak the Word of God and experience what the Word of God has promised to do for us? This is another good reason to meditate in Scripture and get a hold of these verses, because God has promised us We can live longer than we think we should be able to live. We can live longer than what the world says. It's so amazing to us how we will read the paper and see somebody who died at 103 or 105 or whatever. It's like, man, boy, they sure lived a long time. Well, if they go to heaven, can you imagine they meet up with some of these people? You get a, you know, well, how old were you when you died? Oh, listen, I was 107 years old. Oh my goodness, that's so young. Read about me in Genesis. I lived to be 587 years old. If God didn't want people to live so long, people in Genesis wouldn't have lived so long. They wouldn't have lived for centuries. If God didn't want us living that long, He'd have made sure those people died off before they made 150. But they lived and they kept living and they kept living. And what is just, it just, Christians that read those stories and think, oh, I would never want to live that long. You know what? This world needs Christians that can live 300, 400, 500, 600, 700, 800 years. Why? Because do you realize if Christians didn't die till they were 800 years old, how many Christians we'd have in this world preaching the gospel? Now think about that. We'd outnumber the lost people. They'd get saved, just get us to leave them alone. God needs us here on earth. He needs us to live. Look over in Genesis chapter 27. We can always find a reason to quit. We can always make something up and say, that's it, I just can't take no more. I just can't. Well, look here. Genesis chapter 27. Rebecca talking to Isaac, and she says, I'm weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. She's concerned about the women, her children, her sons are marrying. Genesis 27:46. Rebecca says to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me? In other words, she's ready to, you know, pack it up. I might as well just roll over and die. If my boys marry the wrong women, I might as well roll over and die. Oh, it's just going to be terrible. And you've got people today, they're so caught up in the family dynamics that stink, they just want to chuck it all. They just want to forget it. They just want to go on. This family stuff is just getting to me. I can't take anymore. Well, you know what? It's true. Christians fight battles. Now, the Bible never promised we wouldn't fight battles. And let's just be flat on honest here. We fight battles that have to do with, financial battles, emotional battles, family battles, physical battles. I mean, it goes on and on. We've all done that. We've all been through that. It's happened to all of us. And many just give up. And some have even committed suicide because of it. Christians committed suicide because of this. I just can't take anymore. I just can't go on. Pastors, they talk about pastors going through burnout and giving up and just quitting, leaving the ministry. I just can't take any more of this stuff. Pastors should never be going through burnout. Never, ever in a bazillion years. When you hear of a pastor talking, I've gone through burnout. I left the ministry. I just couldn't take anymore. That means you were serving the people instead of God. And I've heard that before. Pastors ought to be serving the people. No, pastors, listen to this. Pastors aren't supposed to be serving the people. They're supposed to be serving God, and God will tell them what to do to serve the people. You serve God first. He's the one that called you into the ministry. He's the one that placed that calling upon your life. He's the one that gave you that purpose. There should never be any such thing as pastors in burnout. The truth of the matter is, God, there's a prophecy in Scripture. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. See, Christians should never be going through the overwhelming stuff, the financial stuff, the emotional, the family, the physical, the job. We shouldn't be going through any of that junk and then I just quit. I just can't take anymore. I just can't take anymore. I just can't go on. Yeah, but what about God? Oh, where is God when you need Him? God can't be, where is He? Come on, God, where have you been? It should never be like that. Never be like that. God's got a reason for you to live. I didn't say that it's going to be easy all the time. Sure, there are battles. Jesus had some battles, did He not? Sure, how'd you like to be preaching a sermon that people get so mad they grab you, drag you out of the church, want to throw you down a hill, and stone you and kill you? Now, that's never happened to me, thank God. But he went through that. Another time, they were trying to kill him. He had to hide in the crowd and escape. Jesus went through some tough times. But you know what he didn't do? He didn't give up. There were times he said, "Oh, ye of little faith." There were times when he said, "How long am I going to have to keep fooling around, you people of little faith?" But he didn't stop. He kept going. He kept going. He kept going. He kept going. He never gave up. You know, remember the story how he's in the boat, storm blows up, and what happened? He's asleep in the boat. Everybody else is all worried and scared, but he's asleep in the boat. And they go running back to wake him up, and they didn't wake him up to speak to the storm. They woke him up to try to get him to help bail the water out of the boat. And they said, "Jesus, don't you care? We're about to die here." And he just yawns and stretches. And, and he stands up. "Peace be still." The wind and the waves stop. And those guys freak out. You know, who is this? They just speak to the wind and the waves and they stop. It's the same guy who just blessed the loaves and the fishes. And they fed the thousands. It's the same guy. And he even looked at them and said, "Where is your faith?" You know what he did afterward? He went back and finished his nap. No, I didn't. The point I'm making is this. Jesus could sleep in the middle of a storm that was threatening to kill everybody. And he slept in peace. That is our example. That is our example. How many times do Christians lay awake at night, looking up at the ceiling, all caught up with everything that's going on? "I just don't know how much more of this I can take." You know what? You can take a whole bunch of it. You can take a whole lot of it. "Yeah, but you just don't know what I'm going through." Well, look in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And this is right after Jesus was born and his parents were taking him in for the dedication, the circumcision and so forth. And it says in verse 36, "And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years. That's 84 years. Which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers day and night." So, she's a widow for 84 years. She had been married for 7 years. That's 91. And if she got married at 12 years old, that means this lady was 103 years old. 103 years old! 84 years, she's a widow. Now, you don't think she ever felt lonely? You don't think she ever missed her husband? You don't think that there were times when she just kind of maybe fought the emotions of, I'm ignored? I mean, 84 years. Yeah. Think about this. But you know what she did? It says here, she served God with fastings and prayers day and night.
That's right.
She never lost her faith. And then she got to see Jesus. She got to see the Messiah. She got to see him there in the temple. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Yeah, so Anna, you know that she went through a lot of stuff. And then the Apostle Paul, look at this, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23. "You know, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequent. In deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, perils of robbers, perils of my own countrymen, perils by the heathen, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." Now, if anybody had a reason to say, "I quit,"
yeah,
it's this guy.
That's right.
I mean, look at this. You know, all these shipwrecks that he's involved with. Good heavens. You know, if you were getting ready to go on a cruise and you looked over and there's Paul in line, I'd be asking for a refund. I would not want to get on that boat because you don't know what's going to happen. And if I couldn't get a refund, I'd be sure I'd buy my own life preservers and what have you, you know. Get my little flippers and my snorkel thing. All right, we're ready. Let's go. Because you know this ship's going down. Yeah. Paul's on the boat. You know we're never going to make our destination. Then he talks about how that he received all this revelation from the Lord, and then Satan got all mad about it, and he sends a messenger to buffet him. And Paul says, man, you know, it got really old. I'm crying out to God. God, please help me. Three times I called out to God. Finally, God got it across to him and says, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. Look over in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I want not. For I am in a strait between two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, now look at this, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. So he's saying, hey, the better thing for me would be to just lay down, die, and go on and be with Jesus. But the needful thing for you is that I hang around. Do you know what? The needful thing for all of us is for all of us to hang around.
That's right.
The needful thing is for us to not give up. Look, the doctor may say, look, here's the diagnosis. Well, you know what? Instead of wallowing around in the diagnosis, you know, rejoice that you've got a Jesus who's a healer.
Yes.
Rejoice that you've got a God who loves you.
Yes.
And you're not. God hasn't called you to die from disease. He's called you to live and declare the works of the Lord. He's called you with a purpose. Now, I know we're going to fight physical battles. We've all been through things like that. But the bottom line is this. God has said, I've got an answer for every physical anything that you would face. No matter what it is, I've got an answer for you. Look here in James chapter 1, verse 12. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. That isn't, don't think simply of temptation to sin. The temptation to give up and quit. The temptation to say, I can't take anymore, I'm not going to even try anymore, what's the use, I never see any results, nothing ever happens, God, I love you, but I quit. No, no, and no. That is a temptation to turn your back on the call of God, to turn your back on the purpose that God has for your life. You don't give up. You don't roll over and say, that's it. I'm done. I'm not going any further. Look in Isaiah chapter 40, 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. God is saying, just wait on me. Just wait on me. Don't try to fix it yourself. Just wait on me and let me move in you in such a way to where you're going to be renewed. You're going to be strengthened. I am going to raise you up, and I'm going to walk you through this. Yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to take you through that valley to the other side, and you're going to complete your journey and your purpose here on earth. I am not going to leave you. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Made reference to this a moment ago. And God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That doesn't mean you're thanking God that I've got problems. Thank you, God, that I've got this infirmity. No, he says, in the midst of the infirmity, I'm going to glory God. I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to worship Him, because I know that no matter how weak I feel in the midst of this thing, God is going to release an anointing. God is going to release a presence, a glory, and a power in me. me, and I'm going to make it through. I'm not going to be stopped. No matter what a messenger of Satan would try to do to me, I'm not going to be stopped. God's grace is sufficient. And His grace is sufficient for every single one of us. No matter what we're facing, no matter what we're going through, God's grace is sufficient for us. Look in 2 Thessalonians 3:13. But ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Did you know that living is a well-doing? Don't be weary in living. Don't be weary in what's going on in your life. Don't let it get you down. Yes, it can be a battle at times. Yes, it can be difficult. Yes, it can be a challenge. But God's grace is sufficient. Listen to this. Romans chapter 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded. This is a key. You've got to be persuaded. You've got to be persuaded. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise God! Amen. Praise God!
Yes.
I am persuaded. Are you persuaded? Are you persuaded that it's worth it to go on? Are you persuaded that it's worth it to fight every battle that comes your way? You've got to be persuaded. Look again in Psalm 118, verse 17. I shall not live, or I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. I shall not die. That's my declaration. I shall not die. I shall not give up. I shall live. I shall go on. I shall keep pressing on, and I will declare the works of Almighty God. Look in Hebrews chapter 12. Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 12. Look at this. Verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which has so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What Jesus went through is more than any of us will ever go through. For the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. Not just the cross, it was everything that leading up to the cross. The beatings, the scourgings, all of that stuff that went on. And then actually being on the cross and everything He suffered up there. He says, for the joy that was set before Him. What was the joy that was set before Him? It's you and it's me. It was the restoration of humanity back to God's original plan that we would live in His image and in His likeness. The joy that was set before Him is that this stuff in Genesis 3 is going to come to an end and I'm going to fix it all. That was the joy that was set before Him.
Yes.
And somebody might say, well, you know, praise God, I'm happy for Jesus. Oh, that's just wonderful. For the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But Pastor Jim, what's the joy that's set before me? What's the joy that I have to look forward to? Glad you asked. Listen to this. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And the building of the wall of it was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every single gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent gold. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face. And his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Praise God. That's the joy that is set before us. That's where we're going to be forever and forever and forever. Listen to this. There's not one of you in here that can describe every trial, every challenge you went through last year. You may say, well, I went some tough stuff last year. Okay, well, what was it? Well, I don't remember, but I'm telling you, I went through, you know, what do you think it's going to be like after we've been in this where our joy set before us, when we've been there for 1,000 years of perfect glory, perfect holiness, perfect everything, perfect glorified body. After we've been there for 1,000 years, do you think you're going to remember anything that was bad about this life? You won't even be able to remember the names of diseases and all that stuff the doctor told you that you had. You're not going to remember that your eyes couldn't see past your nose. You're not going to remember that you had to cup your ears just to hear the television. You're not going to remember any of that. You're going to be in the presence of Almighty God, clothed in a perfect, holy, glorified body, looking face to face with Jesus Christ forever and forever and forever. That is the joy that's set before us. That is our destination, and it's worth every battle that we face here in this life. Praise God. Praise God. Everybody stand. Now, in just a moment, we're going to open this altar area for prayer, for whatever you want. But before we do that, we're going to watch a video of a song. And it sums up everything the Lord has been showing us in His Word tonight. Now, when you hear this song, if you know it, you can sing along. You can stomp your feet. You can clap your hands. If you get real happy, you can dance a little bit. And if you get all Pentecostal, you can run up and down the aisle if you want to. Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and get blessed.
So I cry. been tested, I've been tried. Many times I've had great victory, but there were some times that I failed. When I stopped to give up the whole way, something in my soul begins to say, child, hold on. Hey, but don't be worth your journey when you get there.
Jesus.
his face again. They'll never put the nails in his hands again. They'll never pierce his precious side again. The next time I see him, gonna be in power, gonna be in glory, gonna be in power, gonna be in glory, gonna be in power. When I see Jesus sitting on the throne, I'll be so glad to every time I make myself rest on home. Heaven will be worth the journey. I said heaven will be worth the journey. One more time. Heaven will be worth the journey.
When I see Jesus sitting on the throne, glory to God, I'll be glad for every time I made myself press on home. Amen. Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Yes, Jesus.
Hallelujah. I can't tell you how many times I have watched that video. I mean, I'll be in my office and thinking, you know what? I'm going to watch Tommy Bates again. Glory to God. Heaven will be worth the journey when we get there. Praise the Lord.
Yes,
praise the Lord. Well, listen, we're going to open up for prayer. And it doesn't matter what you want prayer for.